It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
And a little Steely Dan, too. Love it. Greetings to you and welcome to our show. So glad you could join us. On today's show, our guest is Dr. Philip Robinson. He is the Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Hospital Epidemiology at Hoag Hospital. Welcome to you, Dr. Robinson.
Well, thank you.
It's great that you're here, and it's on everyone's mind, so let's get right into it. Swine flu, a.k.a. the dreaded H1N1. Will there be enough H1N1 vaccine to go around for everyone who wants the vaccination this year?
Well, that is the question of the hour.
Yeah.
Our government has really done just a fantastic job in the early stages of getting this virus characterized and into production for vaccination. And unfortunately, we've just last day or so heard that we've got some hurdles to overcome. Number one is that the vaccine production has been slowed.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, the distribution has hit a roadblock. So I am still waiting for my first vaccines at Hoag Hospital at this point.
Okay.
I made several phone calls yesterday, and I hope to have those soon, but I just don't know exactly when.
I know your heart goes out to people in cold weather standing in these huge lines just hoping to get their vaccine. And the government, as you said, the White House spokesman yesterday said there's not a shortage. It's just that they're a bit behind in getting the vaccine manufactured and distributed and available to everyone because there are so many millions of people who need it or want it.
That's right. Well, I'm my heart is warmed by all the people that are lining up to get this vaccine
mm-hmm.
because it is a safe vaccine and it is a very effective vaccine. I sure hope we have our supply soon, and our hope is that we should be able to vaccinate everybody in the United States who needs it, and
well,
hopefully we can do that before it's before the season gets too much further underway.
So everybody listening now, knock collectively on wood that we'll all get there and we'll all get our shot and be nice and happy and healthy all winter long.
That's right.
Now, Brent in Long Beach has sent us an email just now. He wants to know, can we compare the H1N1 to SARS or avian flu or any of the other pandemics of the recent past?
Well, absolutely. In fact, we actually prepared for SARS and bird flu over the last several years. And we thought those would be the ones that would circulate worldwide and cause much death and destruction. But luckily, they've been isolated to certain geological areas of the world and haven't really spread widely. And then novel H1N1 or pandemic H1N1 came on the scene, and the timing couldn't have been better because we were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Hospital was prepared, the government was prepared with all the different pandemic plans. So in a way, SARS and avian influenza got us ready for this, and we're lucky at this point that this particular virus probably is not any worse than seasonal influenza and may, in some respects, be a little bit less serious of an infection.
So why all the fuss?
Well, the fuss is because none of us have seen this virus before,
mm-hmm.
As best as we can determine. So there's really nobody that has any immunity to this particular virus except for maybe those who are over 65. It may be that that generation has seen a virus, not this virus, but maybe a virus similar to this virus that left them with some immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the people that are faring the best through this particular pandemic. But the scary thing is that for seasonal influenza, it usually takes its toll on those 65 and older. But H1N1 is taking its toll on those 65 and younger, in particular those less than 24.
Interesting.
And so the entire population this particular flu season is now at risk for getting influenza and getting the complications of influenza.
Well, it's amazing that you've already have the research in place to, you know, understand these things and therefore you can fight them. I mean, you know, it's a relatively new beast you're dealing with and you've already isolated that particular form of information. So that's one good thing. And the other good thing is they already have a vaccination for it. That's pretty incredible.
It's absolutely amazing how quickly this can go from early detection. You know, we detected this in April, May, and immediately when this new virus came on the scene, it was captured and began the process of being characterized. And actually, vaccine development started immediately. It was unclear at that point whether or not the vaccine would really be needed, but vaccine development proceeded. And then when we started to get these larger waves of infection in the summer, we realized that, yes, this vaccine is going to be needed, and they stepped up to the next level to mass produce the vaccine and then eventually distribute it.
Technology is definitely on our side, and the good scientists and medical professionals are putting all that scientific research to work for you.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's put some other fears to rest. You say that the swine flu may not even be as bad as the regular flu, but we've all seen the news reports about the numbers of people who've succumbed to swine flu in other parts of the world. But here in America, don't we have a much higher survival rate due to the quality of medical care here?
Well, that's certainly one of the theories. In patients that do get severe complications of H1N1 or swine flu, those patients need to be supported. We do have some therapy for it, but for the most part, we need to support them. Some people need to be placed on breathing machines.
Mm-hmm.
Some people need to have special medicines to keep their blood pressure stabilized. Some need to be placed on kidney machines because their kidneys fail. And these are all things that we're good at in America, that we have the resources to support these people as they recover from this.
Mm-hmm.
In places where you don't have the ability to put somebody on a mechanical ventilator and breathe for them for several days or even several weeks, those patients aren't going to make it.
And as you say that, I think, people, please get your vaccination. It's 2 seconds of minor discomfort to avoid your kidneys failing, for example.
Exactly.
It's really, really important. I want to give out the H1N1 hotline. It's 888-865-0564. I know if you're driving, that's hard, but 888 is easy to remember. Then 865-0564. If you can possibly remember that, write it down. And call it. Find out the facts. Find out when the vaccination will be available to you. And by all means, get vaccinated the second you possibly can. Anything else we should know about flu preparedness, Dr. Robinson?
Well, a couple things I want to mention. Number one, it's good for your family and for your employer to have some contingency plans in place. We expect as the season unfolds that more people will need to self-isolate themselves if they get sick. We encourage people to stay home. And so employers need to prepare for absenteeism and actually encourage their patients, or actually their employees, to stay home. If they become patients, they should stay home so that this organism doesn't spread through the rest of the business and perhaps run the risk of shutting the business down for a period of time.
Sure.
And the same thing goes with family. Make sure that you have contingency plans so that if your kids get influenza, that they can stay home from school in a safe environment, and that there's someone there that can take care of them.
You know, for me, those are great examples, and I have some more. I work at a radio station. Of course, we have shared microphones, shared headphones, shared airspace, as it were. And so when people cough, they don't cough into the microphone. Same kind of thing at work. Don't cough into your telephone if it's a shared, you know, unit.
Right.
There are many, many things. Use those sanitary wipes to get the germs of the surfaces that you use, including keyboards of computers and mice. Anything else you can think of?
Well, you know, the virus does live on inanimate objects, or what we call fomites, for a period of time, usually several hours, maybe up to a day. So getting those sandy wipes and wiping off keyboards and phones, pens and cell phones, mm-hmm. all great advice.
One thing that drives me crazy now is everywhere you go when you make a purchase, you have to use the common pen on that machine where you swipe your card.
Well, I've got to confess something. I usually decline the common pen and carry one in my pocket.
I know, but the plastic ones where it's not really a pen, it's just a
plastic.
Oh,
the ones that are attached, yeah, that's a little bit more difficult. Yes. So, and if you do interact with something that might be infectious like that, just wash your hands afterwards before touching your face or touching your kid's face. That'll go a long way to prevent the spread.
Bring your own magazines when you visit the doctor. Bring your own pen when you sign in at the doctor, right?
That not unreasonable advice. But again, we don't want to become germophobes. And, you know, if you do interact with these types of things in your environment, doctor's offices or school, just make sure you wash your hands. You can still touch an infected pen, touch an infected magazine, but as long as you wash your hands before you touch your face or other people, you should be fine.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
You're welcome.
It's been just a pleasure having you on the show. We have been talking with Dr. Philip Robinson, Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Hospital Epidemiology at Hoag Memorial. You can find out more about Dr. Robinson by visiting hoaghospital.org. Also, remember to share this excellent and very, very crucial information with your friends, spouses, your family by downloading a podcast of this show or any other. 24 hours a day on demand, which just means anytime you have a little bit of time on your hands to listen. In our upcoming segment, we will be continuing our discussion about the dreaded H1N1 flu. Definitely call a friend or two and let them in on this timely information and free medical advice as we head into what could be the worst flu season we've seen in recent memory. We will answer your questions as well. I'm Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. Stay tuned for much more.